The Power of Henkel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Laura, your host, and today we're back with another edition of The Power of Henkel. We're going to continue a discussion today that we started a while back regarding sustainability and how Henkel is helping drive results in its own operations, also with customers. So we thought we'd go to the source, and we welcome with us now Maya, who is the sustainability lead for Henkel's industrial adhesives business. And Maya, we're really glad you could take the time to join us today.
My pleasure, Laura. Very happy to be here today.
Thanks so much. And to give our listeners, I think, just some perspective about what you do, what your responsibilities are at Henkel, and why this is so important to the industrial adhesives business, can you explain a little bit about your role?
Of course. So I've been working in different sustainability roles at Henkel for the last 5 years, the last year of which I've been leading sustainability for our industrial adhesives business. And within my current role, I'm responsible for driving sustainability transformation of our portfolio, as well as identifying opportunities to collaborate together with our customers. And very obviously, these both go hand in hand. So what this means in practice is running a cross-functional work stream with different pilot projects and tools, for example, for CO2 emission quantification, and also obviously engaging a lot with our organization in terms of different trainings and workshops, and also running multiple customer projects to really focus on where the meat hits the bone.
Awesome. Obviously a very, very important and critical role. I mentioned previously that we had a discussion with one of your colleagues, Yassine, and we were talking about something that he posted on LinkedIn, which was really about his view about where sustainability begins, how it takes its shape across the value chain. And Yassine's contention, for those who didn't read his piece or listen to the podcast, is that R&D engineers are really the start of sustainability because they have so much influence. So do you agree with that contention?
Yes, definitely. Mostly, I would say. That's at least certainly the beginning. So if I look at how this is done today in the organizations, I can still say that it's happening mostly in isolated cases. In order for an organization to really integrate sustainability into their R&D activities, we need to have a connection between the corporate sustainability goals and the KPIs for the R&D engineers. So in a sense, I guess it means really beginning with the end goal in mind. So what do you want to design for, and how do you ensure that that is really reflected in the KPIs for your design, not only in terms of performance, fit for production processes, or the cost, but also really considering the environmental impact that the product has along its entire lifetime.
Right.
It sounds kind of reasonable, but at the end of the day, it's easier said than done, because often there's a lot of trade-offs also between the different factors. So for example, renewable raw materials come usually with a higher price tag, or very often for our customer industries, we also see a lot of increased quality requirements, which then at the same time cause a higher environmental footprint.
Right. Okay. So, there's tangible and measurable metrics for the final result, but you also have to consider how you achieve specific outcomes throughout the process. So it takes a lot of different players in the value chain from the beginning. So you're designing it, you're producing it, maybe you're using less energy, or you're integrating, renewable raw materials, you're extending the product lifetime, et cetera, and then what do you do with that product at the end of its life cycle? So in some cases, like you said, all of those things maybe can be achieved. You have to look at the trade-offs, and in other cases, maybe not. So that's really kind of the simple explanation of how this looks across the entire value chain.
Yes, exactly. And I would say, in the end, what makes it so complex is that for one company, obviously, you can try to design and optimize for your own product, where you then very often, less said, you look into your raw materials, you look into your own production processes. But at the same time, you want to make sure that you, from a sustainability perspective, optimize for the CO2 footprint of that product along its entire value chain, so that there's no trade-offs or, let's say, counterbalancing happening, in the sense that you have a maybe lower CO2 footprint because of some adjustments within your own production processes, but then at the same time, that might lead into a higher CO2 footprint when it comes to the application process of the customer. So kind of balancing between those and trying to optimize for having the lowest possible CO2 footprint, for example, for the entire life cycle of the product. And at the end of the day, CO2 is also only one of the values of sustainability that you want to optimize for.
Right. So how is Henkel doing that? So for example, like if your customers have certain sustainability goals when it comes to their projects, so, you know, how does Henkel get involved in helping them look at different materials, helping them look at the entire life cycle of their product, say?
So I guess ideally that starts from really understanding what are those customer goals, where do they have the priorities out of those goals? Because again, because of the different trade-offs, you most likely can't even always optimize for all of those goals. After understanding the priorities and the focus, really also understanding how does the customer drive that through their different KPIs? What are the different projects, for example? Let's say a customer has a target for circularity. What are the pilot projects or the areas where they're implementing for that? And how does that tie then again back into the role of our product? So how can we actually influence that? And in an ideal case, having obviously then data involved since the beginning so that we can also then understand the differences and the trade-offs between the different options.
Yeah, I think that's important too, because when, you know, you're thinking about this entire process, it's not, like you said, it's not always the case. It's probably less the case that it's necessarily considered in such a holistic way like that. So we use this phrase in America, it's a team sport. So sustainability is really a team sport. So there's so many inputs. It's not just customer, supplier. There's multiple components. There's a balance really between the cost of doing this and what the market will bear. What's the responsible environmental outcome? I mean, all of those elements have to be weighed.
Exactly. And maybe, I mean, when you say it's a team sport, I would even argue that it's a new team sport in a way that
right.
It's not that it's really like even integrated in all of those processes. So having this kind of new element out there really also forces everybody to think again, what are their roles and how do you synchronize running sustainability between your purchasing, innovation, sales, etc.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot to sort of take in, I think. So conceptually, I think when people talk about this, it all makes sense from a theoretical point of view. You know, why would you do this? It's absolutely necessary for, like you said, multiple reasons: environmental, human health and safety, reducing waste, making things more cost effective. And there's plenty of reasons. But I guess really it comes down to how you make this happen. That's really where the rubber hits the road.
Yes, exactly. That's really the point. So how do you make it happen? How do you work together with the other partners along the value chain to really intentionally design and integrate all of these components together?
Okay. So maybe if we talk about that a little bit to help sort of bring this full circle for our listeners and give them some tangible examples. I mean, obviously Henkel has done this in its own operations, in its product development, et cetera. So we can start there about how Henkel has improved sustainability at manufacturing facilities, et cetera. And then maybe you have a couple great customer cases you could share about how we've actually helped customers achieve some of these goals.
Sure. So if we start with Henkel and maybe specifically what we've done at our production sites. So we're driving different projects to invest in emission reduction, as well as minimizing waste and also reducing water consumption. To drive progress towards carbon neutrality at our sites, we're implementing projects on renewable electricity, optimizing our processes, for example, with electrification, as well as naturally further increasing our energy efficiency. If we take renewable electricity as an example, our approach covers both on and off-site projects, but we're also working with VPPAs, so virtual power purchase agreements, to increase the availability of renewable electricity from our end. And this is really achieved by financing building new capacity, not just buying certificates what are available today. Mm-hmm. To maybe give you also a couple of very concrete examples, we just reached carbon neutrality at our newest aerospace site in Montana, Spain. The facility is carbon neutral and it operates fully with renewable electricity. And this is currently happening across the globe with all of our sites. So So today we have 14 carbon neutral sites, the Montanes one, for example, being one of them.
Okay. I mean, it really is, when you consider it's quite a remarkable transformation for people that maybe haven't followed it so closely with Henkel and its results. It's very, very commendable results. I mean, you consider, for example, the company really is already halfway to its climate positivity objectives, which is incredible. And then there's also, of course, the product development work that's occurred, and using things like bio-based feedstocks, you know, renewable carbons, all the other initiatives that are underway internally. So some of these innovations, I mean, obviously they're not commercialized yet. There's a lot of like try and fail and trial and error. But they really do, when successful, have the potential to radically reduce emissions. So that's quite impressive. And those are, I mean, those are great examples you gave of Henkel's own operations, which is exceptional. So if we turn our attention now maybe to then how we've helped our customers and partners realize some sustainability successes, maybe you can give us a peek into your world and when you're collaborating with customers and consulting with them, and what have we been able to help customers achieve?
Yes, of course. So like mentioned earlier, we're currently discussing with many customers how sustainability plays a role in their product design as one of the parameters, and really trying to understand what kind of KPIs they actually have in place for the components where adhesives, sealants, or coatings are involved. And like we discussed, I mean, that's not really one of the shelf solution or approach that we can just replicate from one customer to another, but that really requires us to understand industry and customer specific requirements coming from the different pressure that we see across the value chain. So could be from regulations, could be requests from consumers in terms of repairability, for example. And based on that, together with our customers and also with our suppliers, we align on areas where our solutions could create additional value to improve processes or the design of the product, for example, then leading to lower CO2 emissions or enabling circularity at the end of the life.
Okay. So, and I guess those things are different, right? Obviously, depending on the product or the industry.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, exactly. And that's really, I think, the part that makes it very challenging, because if you look at industrial medical devices or power drives or white goods, for all of these product categories, we see increasing relevance to reduce emissions along the product life cycle and explore also solutions for circularity. However, because the product also have a very different life cycle and the way that they're being used, the levers and where do you actually want to focus on is completely different. Yeah.
So what are some of those industries? Like, if you can give us a couple of examples.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, maybe if we talk about medical industry, the question is often on how can you reduce waste from products that have a very short life cycle? Whereas if we then talk about power drives, the life cycle is much longer and there's a lot more emissions really caused during the use phase of the products, which from a supplier perspective, looking at what we do, really leads then to increased need for optimized energy usage during the operation. And often, maybe to give another example, more from the process side of things, we can also have a big impact in supporting our customers to enhance their processes, so how they also use our products, like, for example, in the case of white goods manufacturer BSH. We supported them in their paint shop process at their washing machine production in Turkey, by developing a new cleaner coater solution for corrosion resistance, as well as for the paint adhesion. And in essence, the innovation combined the steps of cleaning and coating, which were previously done in two distinct steps, and we made that into a one-step application. And what this basically means in terms of figures was 30% reduced water consumption and 6% reduced energy consumption at their processes. At the end of the day, then also saving 100 metric tons of CO2 each year.
That's incredible. Those are really quite some metrics.
Yeah, I think that's, I think also the key point really to be able to prove that. I mean, either in terms of data or also in terms of projects. So if I look at another example, could be with our collaboration with Schneider Electric. So as some of the listeners might know, Schneider is quite advanced as a company on sustainability, and they've been running a project called the Zero Carbon Project together with their suppliers. And what this project is about is really driving CO2 footprint reduction along their value chain. So really looking at how can they reduce CO2 from their raw materials and really engaging the suppliers along the way. And that's one of the projects where we also work together with them, and really also beyond supporting from our side, how we contribute to their emissions, also supported by upskilling other suppliers, sharing best practices, how from a supplier perspective you can get started, so that we don't also only keep the learnings by ourselves, but that they can also be replicated to other companies to benefit from them.
Yeah, and I mean, that's an awesome list of examples. So thank you for sharing those with us. And I think your point about Schneider is so important, because Henkel is very transparent about what it's doing, sharing, you know, its successes and its failures. And I think, you know, the more these examples the market has to point to, but the more, you know, even competitors, suppliers and partners speak with each other, the more successful we are all going to be. So, you know, setting expectations, establishing KPIs, what are the actions that are taken to achieve that? And then there's just more positive outcomes as a result.
Yes, definitely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, like I said, it isn't necessarily easy. I think we want to be very transparent on what we do well, but especially also what we don't do well yet today, so that we can also collectively learn as an industry and as different partners collaborating on that. And as said, I mean, we've got started. I think we've made a lot of progress on the way, but at the end of the day, it's also a journey. It takes a lot of trial and error, a lot of analysis, but we hope that the outcomes will start to materialize in the next years, leading to lower emissions, reduced manufacturing costs, improved safety along the value chain, obviously in terms of new innovations that we can also introduce to our customers and support them on their sustainability journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what we're all striving for, is to live a bit more sustainably and to see these things come to fruition. So thank you so much, Maya, for your insights today. I think the discussion obviously certainly has me thinking about things differently. Hopefully you've inspired some of our listeners to do the same. Maybe we've garnered some more partners and interested parties along the way. So thanks so much for sharing all your expertise with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Laura. So very much looking forward to the next chat when we have even more progress to share with you.
Me too. So to all our listeners, thanks very much for taking the time to tune in today. If you'd like more information about Henkel's approach to sustainability or any of the company's many successful environmental endeavors, visit www.henkel.com or henkel-adhesives.com for more information. Until next time.
The power of Henkel.